Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
DA, do you think the NBA, the trade deadline, the rumors are just absolutely out of control right now? You have to. I mean,
we already know that answer.
No. But on. I mean, I want to hear him say it. I don't want to hear you say it.
It feels like it's a soap opera.
Yeah, like TMZ, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been that way for a while. It's just getting worse and worse, in my opinion, not better. But a lot of people are entertained, and
yeah,
it's an entertainment business.
All right, there he is, Danny Ainge, the general manager, president of basketball operations of the Boston Celtics. He is not feeling good about his team right now. Blew a 28-point lead to the Clippers last night. Blew an 18-point lead to the Lakers the other night. You're talking about a Clippers team that after trade deadline went out and got worse because they're saying, we don't want to be the 8 seed, so we'll get rid of our best player, get some assets for him. A team that is trying to be worse. You actually let them come back from 28 points. What an embarrassing effort last night at the Garden by the Boston Celtics. Just absolutely embarrassing. You got Jason Tatum walking through screens at the end of the game, giving up wide open threes to Danilo Gallinari. You got guys doubling Montrezl Harrell at the elbow, a guy that can't shoot. He can only dunk, so that he can pass it to wide open guys like Landry Shamet and Patrick Beverley to open threes in the final 2 minutes of the game. You have Gordon Hayward, who your max level contract guy, at the end of the game. Montrezl Harrell, a center, steals the ball from him, and then he lets him go coast to coast and dunk the ball. And Gordon Hayward doesn't foul him. He's a 61% free throw shooter. Tackle the guy. Not tackle him to get a flagrant, but hold him so he can't get up for a dunk. He stopped running. What a pitiful effort last night by the Celtics. A lot of blame to go around about the recent struggles of the Celtics. Marcus Morris makes those comments. Kyrie Irving continually calls out the young guys. I've made it abundantly clear. Kyrie Irving is somebody that doesn't make anybody else better. Everybody else on the team plays better when Kyrie's not there. Al Horford, better numbers. Jason Tatum, better numbers. Jaylen Brown, better numbers. Higher efficiency, too. It's not just like, they get more shots. No, they actually shoot better. Instead of standing around watching Kyrie Irving dribble the leather off the ball. That's what Kyrie Irving does. Doesn't make anybody else better. And on top of all that, bad leader. Not even a bad leader. Not even a leader. Just continues to call out the young guys. Number 617-779-7937. But one guy that does not deserve blame. Kyrie Irving deserves blame. Marcus Morris last night didn't love the comments, but he's 100% right what he's saying, that these guys are all individuals. Gordon Hayward deserves blame for the way he's played this year. No doubt about that. Brad Stevens deserves blame. He can't control the locker room. You have defensive breakdowns at the end of the game. Oh, by the way, you're second to last in the NBA in free throw attempts per game, so you're not getting to the line. So your offense, this beautiful offense you want to run, that clearly isn't working. Get to the line, show some toughness. That shows your team's soft. When you don't get to the line at all, that is soft. You're second worst in the NBA. The only team that gets to the free throw line less than the Celtics, the Orlando Magic, who has nobody that gets to the hoop, right? Their starting point guard is DJ Augustine. They don't have any guys that break you off the dribble. The Celtics have Jason Tatum. They have Jaylen Brown. They have Kyrie Irving. Yet they get to the line the second worst in terms of attempts in the NBA. That's where you're at if you're the Boston Celtics. You can put tons of blame on the coach, Kyrie's leadership, and some of the other stuff going around, like Gordon Hayward has not been productive whatsoever. But Danny Ainge is not to blame. I heard some people blaming Danny Ainge. Oh, we need to do something at the trade deadline. He needed to make a move. What was he going to do? What was Danny Ainge going to do at the deadline? We already knew that the Anthony Davis thing could not happen. What was Danny Ainge going to do at the deadline? That's what I would ask you. Oh, he just needed to make a trade. Well, what's the trade? That's what I want to know. What's the trade out there that Danny Ainge could have made with what he has available on his roster right now? What was he going to do? There was nothing for Danny Ainge to do, okay? Let's focus on the coach having his team blow a 28-point lead and an 18-point lead. Let's worry about the player that continues to call out his teammates. Let's worry about those type of things, not Danny Ainge. You think about what Danny Ainge did, okay? And a lot of this is Gordon Hayward, okay? Because if Gordon Hayward was actually the Gordon Hayward you thought you were getting from Utah, then this team looks totally different. Gordon Hayward's last year in Utah, and I get last night he played pretty good, okay? Ended up with, what, 19 points, but then at the end of the game decided not to run back on defense and challenge Montrezl Harrell, and Montrezl Harrell actually picked his pocket. Okay, so there was that element to the game as well, where Gordon Hayward didn't run back on defense, and a center stole the ball away from him. Absolutely embarrassing for a max level swing man. But you look at Hayward in Utah, final year, 22 points per game, shot 47% from the field, 39 from three, 5.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists per game. In the playoffs, he actually got better. Against the Warriors and the Clippers, he averaged 24 points per game, 6 rebounds, 3.4 assists. Okay, he had a 40-point game and a 31-point game against the Clippers. He had a 33-point game and a 29-point game against the Golden State Warriors. Okay, the best team in the world. He had a 33-point game and a 29-point game. That's how good Gordon Hayward was in the postseason. You look at the numbers, his final year in Utah, very similar to Paul George and Jimmy Butler. Very similar numbers to those guys. George about 24, 6.6, and 3.2. So Gordon Hayward right there with Paul George. Okay, Jimmy Butler 24, 6, and 5. So he's right there with those guys. Gordon Hayward was in the conversation with Paul George and Jimmy Butler. He was one of the best 5 to 6 small forwards in the league. Now, obviously after LeBron and Durant and Kawhi Leonard, but Gordon Hayward was in the family photo, that next group with the Paul Georges, the Jimmy Butlers of the world, his last year in Utah, where he was actually an all-star. Okay, so Danny Ainge, how was he supposed to know that Gordon Hayward was going to wreck his ankle, wreck his leg in the first game he played with the Celtics, and then it would take him a full year to recover, and he still hasn't recovered. He still isn't the same player. How was he supposed to be able to predict this? What Danny Ainge has been able to do, you got Jason Tatum when you completely demolished the Sixers in that deal, where Fultz isn't even on the Sixers anymore. He's on the Orlando Magic. He got traded for a guy named Jonathan Simmons, who's shooting less than 30% from three-point territory. Okay, and then you look at Jaylen Brown, who's been a really good player for this team. You were able to bring in Al Horford because you never were getting big free agents, and you got Al Horford to start this whole thing. And then you were able to convince Gordon Hayward to leave Utah and leave money on the table to play with his college coach Brad Stevens and play for the Celtics. So if Gordon Hayward was actually the Gordon Hayward that the Celtics thought they were getting from Utah, there would be way less issues with this team because they would be 1 or 2 in the Eastern Conference like we all predicted. Gordon Hayward is probably the best passer on this team, him and Al Horford. But the problem is Gordon Hayward still hasn't gotten his athleticism back. It looks like his athleticism has been zapped. And I would say this about Gordon Hayward too. He looks a little too thick. He looks a little too thick right now. Looks like he's almost like too jacked up. I'm sure when he was with a broken leg, obviously he can't do any cardio, so he's doing a lot of lifting. He just looks like he's too rocked up. He looks too big, and he doesn't look athletic. You had the anonymous warrior come out and say the guy's a liability on offense and on defense. So that's a guy you gave max level money to with the assumption that he was going to be, now maybe he tails off a little bit and he only has 20 points per game with the Celtics because you have Kyrie and Al Horford and all that, and Tatum, of course, emerged last year. Maybe he goes down to about 20 points per game. But in no way, shape, or form did you think he'd be shooting, what, 30% from three-point territory and averaging 11 points per game? So that's why this is on Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge deserves absolutely no blame for the situation with the Celtics. There's a lot of guys that you can blame for the Celtics. I do not blame Danny Ainge. This guy has done a hell of a job as an executive. He turned Isaiah Thomas into Kyrie Irving. He picked up Gordon Hayward. He was able to get Al Horford. He drafted Jason Tatum and got an additional draft pick just so the Sixers could take Markelle Fultz. Jaylen Brown's been really good. Terry Rozier was a hit in the draft. Okay, Ojale played major minutes in the playoffs for the Celtics, and he actually played well. So he's done a pretty damn good job in the draft. He's been able to get guys, whether it's trade or free agency. It just so happens that one of those guys had a gruesome leg injury, and whether it's mental or whether it's physical or whether it's a combination of both those things, Gordon Hayward has just not lived up to the contract because of the injury. That's the reality of the situation. Think about what you would have right now. Say even if Gordon Hayward gave you 95% of what he was in Utah. So you would have like 95% of Paul George or Jimmy Butler, or even 90% of the player that Paul George is right now. Think about how much better the Celtics would be if they had 90% of Paul George, who's having an outstanding year in Oklahoma City. That's what Gordon Hayward was on pace to do. Gordon Hayward was an exceptional passer in Utah. Gordon Hayward turned into a really good shooter in Utah. And Gordon Hayward, coming out of Butler, that guy was a freak athlete. The question with Gordon Hayward coming out was, oh, can he shoot? And then he developed the jump shot. And now we're seeing that he's a shell of his former self. That cannot be held against Danny Ainge that this guy hasn't found a way to recover. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's get to Bob, who's in Drake It tonight. What's up, Bob?
How you doing? I just want to reiterate about Kyrie. And let me go back to, you know, I've been a long time Celtics fan, sure. And I've always liked the team. And the likability factor has always been big for me personally. I can't really speak for other people, quote, green teamers or whatever, but I mean, I always loved to root for guys that I liked. And even if they had an edge, you know, like Bird. So, and obviously it was easy to like when they're champions, and that's fine. But last year, totally compared to this year, is totally different. And Kyrie is the difference. Kyrie is the difference. He's actually not likable. So I think it's important to be not only, you know, good, but then you have to be likable as well. I think long term, he doesn't belong in Boston because of the juxtaposition between his talent and his lack of leadership. I just think unless you bring in other talent, i.e. Davis, but yeah. If you bring in other talent that takes the pressure off of him so he doesn't have to lead, he can just go out there and score 30 points a game and be quiet and not have to, like, get the rest of the team. No, so if Davis comes in, it's going to completely – or some other talent like that, it's going to completely change the dynamics, hopefully, because Kyrie, he just simply in the current, you know, sort of formula, he doesn't belong here. As good as he is, and it's crazy to say that because yeah. I think he's, you know, top five or top six, you know, in the league in terms of talent and ability to, you know, find his own shot, the whole thing. But hey, you know, I can just be honest with you. If I don't like the team, like what happened over the last couple games, I actually didn't watch it. Now, I don't have a ton of time to watch the games and stuff like that. But last year I watched games that I was like, geez, I'm tired, but I love this team. It's different this year. I don't care as much.
Wow.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bob. And I share your take in terms of Kyrie Irving long-term. If Danny Ainge can get Anthony Davis, I'm fine with giving Kyrie all the money that he wants because Kyrie Irving will turn into the second banana. He will turn back into Robin like he was with LeBron James at the Cavaliers. Because Kyrie Irving, we've gone through this, he does not make anybody else better. That's the reality of the situation. He's Allen Iverson. He's not Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd made everybody better on those New Jersey Nets teams back in the day. Remember, Brian Scalabrine, who you heard from earlier, he was able to get a nice contract because he got open shots from Jason Kidd. Richard Jefferson made his career off getting passes from Jason Kidd, made him a whole lot of money. Steve Nash did it with guys like Sean Marion. Nobody on the Celtics team gets better with Kyrie Irving. Reality of the situation, all these guys, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all their numbers are significantly better when Kyrie's out of the lineup, and it's not just they get more points because they get more shots. They also have better efficiency, okay? They shoot better when Kyrie Irving's off the floor. If Kyrie Irving was a true number one superstar, he makes other guys better, like LeBron James does. That's the reality of it. Like Steph Curry does. By Steph Curry being such a great shooter, all these guys get open shots. With Kyrie Irving, it's a show. It's fun to watch. He's going to beat you one-on-one. But that's the second guy, right? He's Allen Iverson. That's what he is. And Allen Iverson, remember, he never won a championship. One year he took a team there with a bunch of goons when the Eastern Conference sucked. Okay, now the Eastern Conference is loaded with Milwaukee and Toronto and Philadelphia. And your best player, if you're a Celtics fan, will be the worst star in any of the series that you play against Philly with Embiid, Toronto with Kawhi Leonard, or Milwaukee with the Bucks. Okay, with Giannis with the Bucks, I should say, because the Bucks have Giannis. And Giannis makes guys better. Chris Middleton is better playing with Giannis. Brooke Lopez wasn't great on the Lakers. Now he's hitting everything because he's getting wide open threes with Giannis. Okay, Kyrie Irving doesn't make anybody better. So if Davis is here, fine. Kyrie can be Robin, although he can still be the star. He can be the outspoken guy on the team, all that kind of stuff. But I know that I have one of the premier defenders in the NBA in Anthony Davis to back up Kyrie Irving. And I know that I have somebody that can carry a franchise in Davis, despite the fact the Pelicans have not been great. He has nobody around him. But I know I have a generational talent in Anthony Davis to go along with Kyrie. But if Anthony Davis is not coming here, no Kyrie. Don't want him. 5 years with $188 million, whatever it's going to be. And you have to deal with all the drama off the court. You have to deal with the injury history. And you have to deal with the fact that your best player doesn't make anybody else better. That's what you want? No, I'm not signing up for that whatsoever. All right, let's get to James, who is in a car tonight. What's going on, James?
Hi. I'm not a big Kyrie guy, but this is about Brad Stevens, really. If you've got Davis, AD, with Kyrie, that minimized Brad Stevens even more. Brad Stevens cannot coach personalities. He can coach kids. He can coach college players. But I don't think he has the personality to coach superstars in the NBA just because of the culture of the NBA, because he's not demanding of his players. He trusts that his players are going to follow his system and do what they need to do to be successful. But at this point, he's dealing with guys who are successful. And I don't think, from a management standpoint, that he can handle that. It's not about coaching. It's about management.
Yeah, James, I'm with you. I mean, you look at it last year. This team overachieved, right? Because Kyrie went down, so you weren't expecting things from this team. And all these guys are young. The Terry Rozier's, the Jaylen Browns, the Jason Tatum. So they're listening to Brad Stevens. And then you have Al Horford, who's one of the great teammates in the NBA. Everybody likes Al Horford. So you're listening to Brad Stevens. But then when you bring in somebody like Kyrie Irving, he's been an NBA champion. He has a huge ego. He continues to call the guys out. And I agree with you. Until Brad Stevens proves that he can control the locker room, because clearly he cannot. Kyrie's called guys out multiple times. Now you have Marcus Morris calling guys out last night. So until he proves that his locker room isn't going to continue to leak stuff to the media, not even leak it, they're okay publicly saying stuff about teammates because there's no repercussions for it. So until he actually proves that he can control the locker room, I would have to agree with you. This is on Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has had a poor season coaching, and the biggest issue is he cannot manage his own locker room. That's the issue, James.
And that's what's scary. And for me, I mean, with all due respect, I mean, I'm a former college coach, and I understand the building of teams, and I understand how the NBA works today. But at the end of the day, I think AD, he's a top five player. However, people got to look at the amount of time he nurses when he's injured. People have to look at the amount of time where if he has the wherewithal to say, I want to trade and I'm not going to play unless I get traded, where now the Pelicans are going to sit him out for the rest of the year. And so I wouldn't want either one. People got to understand, Duke had a chance to win a national championship when Kyrie was there. He sat out the entire year.
Yeah, foot issue.
When he went to the tournament and he took 90 shots. Duke lost his first round.
Yeah, he shot them out of the tournament. You're exactly right, James. He did shoot them out of the tournament. Now, Anthony Davis is playing, but it's weird. He's like not playing fourth quarters. He had 32 points the other night, and he didn't even play the fourth quarter of that game. Kyrie Irving did shoot Duke out of a tournament game, and that was a team that won the national championship the year prior. I hated the fact that Kyrie Irving was not on the bench last year in Game 7. They said he needs to get, like, deviated septum surgery or whatever it is. But this is the one thing I'll say with the Anthony Davis thing. The guy is a dominant defender. He's averaging 29 points per game. So these people out here that are saying, oh, you know what, I wouldn't include Jason Tatum in the deal for Anthony Davis. If Kyrie's staying and you have a chance to get Anthony Davis, yeah, Jason Tatum's going. I'm sorry. Okay, you look at Anthony Davis. This guy is literally Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan of his generation in terms of the numbers. He's putting up 29 points per game. 29 points per game. He's just on a lousy team. He blocks like 2.6 shots per game. The guy's a dominant player. He just needs to get on the right team because he has nobody around him. The second best player he's ever played with is Drew Holiday. Okay, Drew Holiday is the second best player he's ever played with. So these people out here saying, oh, I don't know if I'd give up Tatum in that deal. Like, what is Tatum? Okay, his floor, yeah, it's pretty high. He's a good player. But are we ever expecting Jason Tatum to get to, like, Kevin Durant level? Kawhi Leonard level? That would be an awfully, awfully big achievement for Jason Tatum to get to that level. If he gets to Paul George level, you're like, man, we really hit on the draft. But I'm telling you right now, oh, I can go get Tim Duncan or Kevin Garnett in their prime. At the age of 26, I can get him in his prime. Yeah, I would give up Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. There's no way that if he comes and plays with Kyrie, they make a deep run, he's just going to leave to go play with 35-year-old LeBron. I don't buy that whatsoever. Now, clearly they want him in L.A. Rich Paul, his father, and LeBron, they want him there. But that doesn't mean that he's going to come here and not stay. I just don't buy that whatsoever. You're just going to leave and go play with old LeBron. That doesn't make sense, because that would be after next year when LeBron played another full season. He's already slowing down this year if you look at the injury. First time he's had a serious injury in his career. You think at 35, you're going to leave Kyrie Irving and this group of players and Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. You're going to leave that group if you make a deep run to go out to L.A. just because Rich Paul wants you to go there. Why would you ever listen to Rich Paul? This is a guy that just told you to demand a trade because you were going to get traded to the Lakers. And now he looks like an idiot because the Pelicans fans hate him when he could have just done this in the summer. And he knows in the summer somebody's going to trade for him. But now you look like an idiot because the Lakers didn't pick you up and your own fans are booing you. And Anthony Davis has who to thank for that? that. His agent, Rich Paul. All right, let's get to Dan, who's in New Hampshire tonight. What's up, Dan? Dan going once. All
Hello.
Right. Hey, what's up, Dan? Oh, Dan's gone. 617-779-7937 is the number. Okay. So, yeah, this whole situation with Anthony Davis, we'll have to continue to monitor this, but that was a win for the Celtics. That was a win for the Celtics that clearly the Lakers didn't have enough ammunition to be able to get Anthony Davis in that trade. And how about LeBron James? This is what I'd say about LeBron James. By the way, how about the fact that he's at the Duke game last night watching Zion Williamson? He brings Rondo with him, and you can tell how much LeBron's teammates really like him. Brandon Ingram played at Duke. He didn't take him to the game. He took Rondo. I get Rondo's his friend, but he didn't even bring Brandon Ingram to the game. Didn't bring Brandon Ingram, who played for Duke. You would think, like, maybe he wants to go to the game. Glad, by the way, that LeBron went to that game last night in Charlottesville, then made it back to Philly to get his ass kicked today by the 76ers. Yeah, that's really what you want from LeBron. But how about LeBron earlier in this week? Okay, there was a picture of Harrison Barnes that he put on Instagram. Harrison Barnes was on the Mavericks. He got traded to the Sacramento Kings. LeBron says this on Instagram. So let me guess. This is cool because they had to do what was best for the franchise, right? Traded this man while he was literally playing in a game and had zero idea. I'm not knocking who traded him because it's a business and you have to do what you feel is best. I just want this narrative to start real slash change and not when a player wants to be traded or leaves a franchise that he's a selfish, ungrateful player. But then when you trade him, release him, waive, cut, etc., it's best for them. I'm okay with both, honestly. Truly am. Just call a spade a spade. Okay, LeBron James is literally the last guy that can talk about this stuff. So he's trying to say, oh, well, when players ask to be traded, they're looked like as villains. But when the organization during a game trades Harrison Barnes over to the Sacramento Kings, oh, that's just for business. Well, LeBron, you do realize that the guys that you sit next to every game, the guys that you go into games with every game, you were just trying to get all of them traded for Anthony Davis. Okay, you thought that was best for your business. Okay, you wanted all those guys traded. If they were traded in the middle of the game for Anthony Davis, you think you wouldn't have been happy with that? You would have been upset that the organization did that? No, because you were trying to orchestrate all that. So for him to say that everything is wrong, oh, everybody just looks at the player as the villain in all this and not with the team, I don't really see a lot of backlash with Anthony Davis outside of New Orleans. Like, Pelicans fans are upset, but I feel like the reaction that most people around the country had with Anthony Davis was like, oh yeah, I kind of get the trade. Now, they all look like idiots because they weren't able to pull off the trade. And Anthony Davis asked for a trade. Now he's playing with the team that he said he didn't want to play for. He's going back. He's playing with guys that clearly he doesn't think are good enough. So it looks bad for Anthony Davis now that he has to go back to New Orleans. But I don't think the national media or even the national casual basketball fan thought like, oh yeah, Anthony Davis is a villain for asking for this trade. Most people outside of New Orleans, because clearly they're upset with Anthony Davis because it's their player. Just think about it. If it was someone in your town, you would be upset. Somebody here in Boston, you would be upset if they demanded a trade. But outside of that, everyone's like, yeah, kind of get it. Jrue Holiday was the second best player he's ever played with, so I kind of get why he asked for a trade. And I get he played with Cousins, but really the reality of the situation with Cousins was never really healthy. Remember, he tore the Achilles, so he never really got a full season with them. But nobody looked at that as like, oh, Anthony Davis is this supervillain now because Anthony Davis is the one that asked for the trade. I didn't see it that way at all. Now, he looks bad in New Orleans and because those people wanted Anthony Davis to stay long term. But I don't know what LeBron James is talking about. He's trying to create his own narrative because he's pissy. He's moany. He's upset that he didn't get Anthony Davis. All right, a lot more to get into. We'll continue to talk about the Celtics. Plus, somebody the Yankees are after that I'd really like to see go to New York. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's WEEI at night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Pitch.
swing and a drive hammer to left field, deep on the line. Back goes J.D. looking up. It hits off the base of the wall.
Look at this.
And Machado did not run. He didn't run. He thought he had a home run. It sunk and hit the base of the wall. And he was barely at first base by the time J.D. grabbed the carom at the long single. And that's inexcusable.
It is awful. This is a low line drive. Now, there's no question he smoked it. But he absolutely just sat there, stared at it, jogged through his bat. He wasn't halfway down the line when this ball hit the wall. And now with two outs, he's not standing at second because he's a pimp daddy and they need to check that ball out.
Oh, man. Wasn't that priceless? Joe Castiglione, Lou Maloney on the call right here on WEI. World Series game, Manny Machado thinks he has a home run. He's pimping it like he's getting ready for his trot. He gets into the trot and then he realizes, oh, yeah, that's not going out of the park. That Manny Machado. Manny Machado, who has been an absolute dog throughout his Major League Baseball career. Okay, you think about it. You had two different teams call him dirty during the postseason. Remember, the Milwaukee Brewers did it with Christian Yelich called him dirty because he stepped on the first baseman's leg, okay, on his heel. He did the same thing against the Red Sox in the postseason. Steve Pierce stepped on his heel when he's trying to run out a ground ball to first base. We know the history that Manny Machado has with the Red Sox in terms of the Pedroia thing, and they continue to throw at Manny Machado. And some of the comments Manny Machado made during the postseason where he said, I'm not going to be Johnny Hustle when he didn't run out a ground ball. I'm not going to be Johnny Hustle. Think about that. Yeah, I'm not going to run things out. Just don't feel like it. I'm not going to run things out because I don't feel like it right now. So Manny Machado, considered to be a dirty player, which has been proven multiple times, has considered to be a dog, which is clearly true, doesn't run out ground balls, and when he thinks he hit a home run, he's in his trot instead of running things out, okay? And the Dodgers gave up a bunch of things in their farm system to bring him in to their team, and they don't even want him back next year, okay? Think about that. Manny Machado gets traded for a bunch of prospects to the Dodgers for a rental to try to win a World Series. You would think, oh, yeah, we trade for a perennial all-star in Major League. Yeah, we don't want him back, okay? We don't want him back. And I found this glorious that this weekend it was reported, and a couple different reports out there, that the Yankees maybe offered him a 7 to 8 year deal worth $220 million. The White Sox also offered him a deal, which is about $250 million. These are all reports right now, okay? But this is what I would love to see. I would absolutely love to see Manny Machado in a Yankees uniform. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great for the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry? Okay, because if you look at Manny Machado, the Red Sox can make him look silly in a couple more playoff series. Remember this, 5 of 22 in the World Series. He hit 182, and his OPS was 390. And the best image of that World Series, remember what Chris Sale did to him on that pitch, where he went down to his knees swinging? He was down on his knees swinging. He was just utterly embarrassed by what Chris Sale did to him at the plate. So wouldn't you like that guy, with all the history he's had with the Red Sox, wouldn't you like to see him in a Yankees uniform? Could you shorten up your swing once in the postseason? Okay, shorten it up just a little bit. Now, that whole Dodgers team was not shortening up their swings whatsoever. They just looked like idiots up at the plate. They were trying to hit a home run every time they were up there, and the Red Sox were just completely taking advantage of it. It was just unbelievable what the pitching staff did to that Dodgers team, but let's be real. We all knew the Red Sox won in the World Series after they beat the Astros. But if you're Rob Manfred, don't you want this to happen? Aren't you pushing for the Yankees to pick up Manny Machado? I'm glad that they're not after Bryce Harper. That's what I'm glad about, because you do not want to see Bryce Harper in a Yankees uniform. Lefty power hitter coming to Fenway Park multiple times. And then the fact that you have that short porch at Yankee Stadium. The fact that the Yankees aren't in on Bryce Harper, that's the one that baffles me. And I get that you have Stanton and I get you have Judge in the outfield, but I would want Bryce Harper. Why do I want Manny Machado? I got a bunch of young infielders, not to mention that I got D.D. Gregorius coming back. I would rather have Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is a much better player than Manny Machado. And Manny Machado is also a guy that thinks he's a shortstop and he sucks defensively at short. He's a good third baseman, but if you look at it, he is a horrible shortstop from a defensive perspective. So he wants to play shortstop. We've seen in the postseason he sucks, just like we saw against the Red Sox in the World Series. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm cheering for this to happen. I am absolutely cheering for Manny Machado to be on the Yankees, because you don't really have a villain on the Yankees right now. Okay, Stanton sucks. Okay, we saw Stanton, what he did against the Red Sox. He sucks in big moments. Now you can say, oh, the home runs. He was the MVP of the National League. Yeah, Call me in October, and then I'll tell you what Stanton's going to do, because we saw what Stanton's going to do in the postseason. Okay, now maybe Judge a little bit has turned into a tiny villain, or actually he's a very large man, but you get the point. There's a little villain in Judge just because he played the New York. But at the same point, it's like, as a Red Sox fan, you kind of appreciate that, because whether or not that actually motivated the team, which I always think is ridiculous, that actually motivated the team to play better. Like, come on. It doesn't really motivate you when you're trying to hit a baseball, but somebody was playing New York in the clubhouse. But Judge isn't really like a hateable guy. There's not a lot of hate in Judge. Like back in the day when it was Alex Rodriguez, yeah, there's a lot of hate there. A-Rod is an easy guy to hate. Aaron Judge, it's really tough to hate Aaron Judge. And none of their pitchers, really. Who are you going to hate? C.C. Sabathia? Luis Severino, rather? J.A. Happ? Like, who are you going to hate on the Yankees? Is it going to be Paxton, who they brought over from the Mariners? There's not a lot of hateable guys. Now, Chapman's one, obviously, for his off-the-field issues, if you will. But Chapman's a closer. You only see him in one inning, right? So he's not really somebody that comes up. Like, it's got to be a position player or a starting pitcher like a Roger Clemens, who, of course, we all know why Red Sox fans hated Roger Clemens. But it's got to be somebody like that. Okay, Manny Machado fits the mold. You already had the issue with Dustin Pedroia, whether or not you believe that that was too much from the Red Sox. Like, okay, we get it. You're going to throw at the guy like 90 times. Okay. But nonetheless, there are a lot of Red Sox fans that dislike Manny Machado because of that. And then we saw that he was cleating Steve Pierce in the World Series. He cleated multiple players in the World Series. He said it's like the opposite of what Boston fans like, right? Boston fans want gritty guys. That's what we want. We want gritty players, right? We love that, the gritty players. Manny Machado is like the opposite of that. He openly said, that I'm not going to be Johnny Hustle. I'm not going to run everything out. So if you want to inject some enthusiasm, if you want to inject some energy into this rivalry, get Manny Machado on the Yankees. Please get Manny Machado on the Yankees. I would love to see that Red Sox pitching staff against Manny Machado in a postseason series again. That would be great. Let's get him back in the American League East so the Red Sox can embarrass him in another postseason series. Okay, I would absolutely love to see Manny Machado in a Yankees uniform. I'm about interesting, okay? I'm in the interesting business. That makes the series more interesting than him facing a guy like Torres or Andujar. I'm sorry. It's more interesting for me to see somebody like Manny Machado, who most Red Sox fans completely dislike because of his actions on the field and some of his comments that he's made. Okay? So I would much rather see Manny Machado than one of those guys. Okay? I need somebody on the Yankees to really dislike. And right now, when I look at this Yankees team, there's not a lot of guys that I really dislike. There's really not one of them. I don't really dislike anybody on the Yankees, okay? Now, I dislike the Yankees organization because I'm a Red Sox fan, okay? I dislike them for that reason. I guess the guy that's like the most dislikable, if you will, is probably Aaron Boone, because he just sits there and chews his guy. The guy sucks at his job, so he's not even that unlikable, right? I mean, he was horrible in that series against the Red Sox. He was bad. He was flat out bad. Alex Cora was dancing around the guy. I mean, it looked like one guy had been managing, and it was only Cora's first year, but it looked like Cora had been managing for a decade, and it looked like Aaron Boone was asleep at the wheel. So it's not even, you can't really even hate him. So if you get Manny Machado, at least you have somebody that you can add to this rivalry that you can actually like. But how about this whole thing with Major League Baseball too? We're like, what, a couple weeks away from spring training and the two biggest free agent names aren't signed? Can you imagine if this was going on in the NBA? Like, oh, we're 1.5 weeks away from training camp and Kevin Durant still hasn't decided who he's going to sign with. Like, we know Durant's going to make his decision sometime between July 1st and July 4th, right? Kyrie Irving, same thing. Jimmy Butler, all these guys that are free agents, the Klay Thompsons of the world. How does Major League Baseball do this? How does this continue to happen to Major League Baseball? How have they not fixed this solution? You can give me all the reasons that it's happening. Well, just prevent it from happening. That's what I would say is, how can you have this going on this long where Bryce Harper doesn't have a team? One of the biggest stars. Like, you have these winter meetings that everybody covers all over the country. You have all these people going to winter meetings. You have radio shows doing shows there. You have ESPN there doing television shows. You, of course, have the MLB Network doing shows from there. Okay, you have all these different shows that are live from the winter meetings, and the two biggest names, the two biggest free agents don't sign. And this isn't like this is the first year it's happened. It's just been highlighted this year because it's Bryce Harper, who's been an MVP, and Manny Machado, who's been, at times, one of the 10 to 15 best players in the game, okay? Not this year in the postseason, but nonetheless, how does this continue to happen for Major League Baseball? This is an absolute joke. When is Bryce Harper actually going to sign with the team? When is Manny Machado actually going to sign with the team? And we know that Harper is represented by Boris, and Boris is somebody that doesn't like Machado's agent, so they're waiting themselves out, apparently, to see who can get the bigger contract and whatnot. Like, really? That's what we're doing here? We're waiting to see who can get the bigger contract? And how is Manny Machado going to get more money than Bryce Harper to begin with? Just give Harper more money. Like, Harper should be the guy that gets more money. First of all, he sells more tickets, so there's that aspect. And he's been a better player. Harper's a better player than is Manny Machado. But my word, the way that this thing continues to trickle through the complete offseason, like, we're in February. This is February 10th, and these guys aren't on teams yet? These guys aren't on teams, and it's February 10th. This would be like in October, the NBA guys decide to sign. Oh, yeah, now we've made a decision where we're signing. Like, they sign in July, and this would be like one of those guys waiting until October, right before the season, to sign. Unbelievable. And they're holding up all these other guys that are still looking for teams. It's just a bad look for Major League Baseball. And the fact that they haven't figured out a solution to this, like, put in a deadline or something. Is it that complicated? It's an absolute joke. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I mean, the incompetence of that sport. And how about, like, let's move up to World Series games a little earlier. Starting World Series games at, like, 9 at night. Now, I'm fine with it. I'm going to watch the games. But, man, you got a kid that's been a Red Sox fan, right? The whole season, you got a little kid. He can't even watch the game because by the time the third inning starts, it's 11:30 at night. Unbelievable. Baseball just has to get with the times. Get with the times. Unbelievable. All right, I want to get to something on the Patriots, and there's a lot going on there. But will it actually affect the team? We'll get to that. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's WEEI at night. This is Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next couple of minutes or so here. Man, I'm missing the Grammys tonight. Really upset about that. Jeez. The only thing I'll say about the Grammys that's better than, like, the Oscars, at least you have, like, performances, right? A lot of performances up there, rather than basically at the Oscars, everybody just wants to make a speech about something political. Just get sick and tired of that type of stuff. I'm not a big award show guy to begin with, so pretty happy that I'm missing the Grammys tonight. I got to figure it out tonight, too. I just realized I feel like an idiot. Last time I was here, I don't have a car at the moment, so I Ubered. I was able to borrow a car tonight, but I Ubered, and I went out the wrong door of the building. So two Uber drives I had to cancel because they're like, yeah, we're in front of the building and we don't see you both times. And I thought it was them. I'm like, I'm right in front of the building. I was at the back entrance. I had to walk to a car dealership down the street to get the Uber. Okay. That's how bad I am in terms of my sense of direction. Okay. I lived in Houston for about 5 years and I had an airport that was about 10 minutes from my place. And I had to continually put it in my phone. Okay, so I have no sense of direction whatsoever. So I'm hoping tonight it'll be better. Thank God I don't have to get an Uber tonight. I probably would have walked out the wrong door again. But hey, that's on me. That's just a mistake on my behalf. But tonight I realized I went in the right door to get into the building. Just completely embarrassing that last time I did that. I thought it was the Uber drivers, and it turns out to be me. Just completely embarrassing. All right, anyway, want to get to this real quickly before we go. So We've seen all the turnover with this Patriots coaching staff. Flores, of course, takes over as the Dolphins head coach. And we'll see if he has better luck than the rest of these guys, the Matt Patricias of the world, the Josh McDaniels of the world. And look, maybe it's unfair to Patricia because Patricia's only been there for a year. But, man, remember when he was having his guys, like, practice outside in the snow when they had, like, three straight indoor games coming up? Like, don't try to be Bill Belichick. That's the problem. These guys try to be Bill. Like, McDaniels tried to be Bill and run everybody out. The problem is, like, Bill can get more out of average talent or slightly above average talent than anybody else. When these other guys try to do that, right, they try to get, like, similar talent to what they have with the Patriots, just smart players. And that's where they run into issues, is they try to just, like, elevate everybody's play. But you're not Bill. You can't do that. So hopefully Flores, well, not for the Patriots' sake because they're in the division, but you think that Flores, hopefully he learns from these other guys' mistakes. But you think about the turnover on the coaching staff. Chad O'Shea, the receivers coach, of course, he goes with Flores to Miami. And then you got Brandon Daly, the defensive line coach, who has family in Kansas City. So now he goes to the Chiefs to be a coach there. So the only returning position coach from the defense is Steve Belichick. That's it. Who coached what? The safeties. So that's the only returning coach, okay? But this is where I look at it with the Patriots. Like, none of this matters to me. I'm thinking about this earlier. Like, do I really care about this? No, I don't. The reality of the situation is this. McDaniels is still there. Great. So you still get your offensive play caller. You still have Belichick. And you still have Scarnecchia. Now, if Scarnecchia decided to retire like he did a couple of years ago, that's a story. Because this offensive line was so damn good in the postseason. Brady was sacked, what, once? The Chargers didn't even touch him. The Chiefs barely touched him. And the Rams got to him once. Aaron Donald had two quarterback pressures in the entire game. Or Donald and Sue combined. Okay, so we've seen what Scarnecchia means to this team. You think about it, Nate Solder, who is considered to be a pillar of this organization. How could you let Solder go? You bring in a guy like Trent Brown from San Francisco, who the Niners didn't want because they believe they had two better tackles on the team. Well, you just plug him in. And because of Scarnecchia, they're great. Tom Brady has said that he's the best position coach out there, okay? So as long as they have Scarnecchia, and as long as they have Belichick, and as long as they have McDaniels, I'm not going to worry about it. And even with McDaniels, as great as McDaniels is, we've seen Brady have success with multiple different offensive coordinators. Going back to Charlie Weiss and Bill O'Brien, I get that they had the dust up on the sidelines or whatnot. It doesn't really matter as long as you have Brady. So really, it's about Scarnecchia and Belichick. So there's really nothing I can really even think about when I look at that losses in terms of the coaching staff. Now, Flores clearly proved himself. I mean, the guy did a great job getting ready for the Super Bowl. And how does that feel for Matt Patricia, right? So Matt Patricia's like, okay. So Nick Foles lit me up for 41 points. Nick Foles lit me up for 41 points, okay? And Nick Foles has proven he's not just a backup quarterback. He deserves to be a starter somewhere. We'll see where that is, and the Eagles apparently going to franchise him and then try to trade him. Nick Foles trying to get out there so bad, or get out of there so bad, that he was going to give $2 million back just so he could become a free agent, and then the Eagles said, oh, we're going to franchise you. But anyway, Patricia gives up 41 points in that game, okay, to the Eagles. And then you see Brian Flores, who's the defensive play caller, if you will, wasn't technically the defensive coordinator. Him and Belichick scheme up a plan to take out Sean McVay, the McGenius, as he was labeled. They hold that team to 3 points in the game. Okay, so Matt Patricia, maybe if you're the Detroit Lions right now, you're like, hold on. Maybe we got the wrong member of that defensive staff. Maybe we wanted Brian Flores and not Matt Patricia, especially considering that Matt Patricia's trying to be Bill Belichick, and we saw Josh McDaniels try to be Bill. It didn't work. Eric Mangini tried to be Bill, and it didn't work. And it looks like Patricia is trying to be Bill right now. Remember when Matt Patricia was criticizing a reporter earlier this season because of his posture, wanting to respect the process a little bit more? So Matt Patricia, man, that looks bad for you. That really looks bad for you. Like, out of all the losers in the Super Bowl, Sean McVay, clearly a loser. Could not make one adjustment at halftime. Like, Sean, clearly they know what you're doing. Maybe change things up a little bit. You could see in the NFL films or hear in the NFL films where he's saying, look, guys, we're in a good place. We just got to be us. It's like, no, actually, you don't have to just be us. You actually have to make a change or they're going to continue to dominate you on the defensive side of the ball. And you never made an adjustment. So McVay, a huge loser. Goff, a huge loser. And of course, Todd Gurley, a huge loser. But man, on a totally different level, how about Matt Patricia? Total loser in that Super Bowl because he had Brian Flores design a great game plan. And on the other side of things, 2 years ago against the Philadelphia Eagles, Matt Patricia, his defense gives up 41 points. 41 points to Nick Foles and company, a guy that took over for Carson Wentz. Oh, geez. Detroit's got to already start to have buyer's remorse. I would have buyer's remorse if I was the Detroit Lions. You guys got the wrong member of that staff. Flores looks like he has his head on his shoulders. Patricia, yeah, really, really smart. We get it. He's a rocket scientist, not exactly a great football coach. Thanks to Drew Johnson for producing tonight. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.